Thanks for joining us for our Mercy Talk podcast this week. This is Melanie Wise and Jen Otero, your hosts of Mercy Talk. And if you are just now joining us for the first time, we are starting the new year with a series on being an overcomer. And for the next several months, we're going to be discussing various areas where our residents and many people outside of the walls of Mercy might struggle, including self-harm, overcoming past abuse, overcoming addictions, eating disorders. And so that's kind of where we are this month in January. We've been discussing the issue of addiction. And so, Jen, I will just hand it over to you to introduce our guest today.
Yeah, we're so excited to have Kanan come. She is a Mercy grad. And as we've talked before, there is just a power in testimony. You know, we've talked for weeks just about all of the ins and outs of addiction and how to identify it and the importance of getting to the root and, you know, all the practical things that are so important. But I love testimony times because there is a power that comes from someone who has overcome.
Yeah.
There's a power from someone saying, you know what, this is what I've come from. This is what God has done. And she has a different power to what she has to say than you or I do, mm-hmm. even in the knowledge or the understanding that we have with what we do. There's something that comes from knowing, hey, I've got a testimony and this is what God has done. And even the word says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so, Kanan, we're so excited that you could come and join us today.
I'm excited to be here.
And so I guess we would just start off by saying, can you share a little bit of your story? You know, I know even before we got started, you said, you know, I want to tell some of the story and explain some of what I've overcome, but that the real prayer over this podcast and this time is that people walk away being encouraged, but also just really equipped to go, this is how I can overcome, or this is how I can help someone overcome that's dealing with addiction.
Absolutely.
So can you share a little bit of your story with us?
Yes, I would love to. I'm honored to be here and I'm so grateful to be able to share my story. And I don't want to get bogged down in the details of what's happened, but what God has done. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have a little history to know where you come from, to be able to hold on to that hope. In 2000, I graduated and gave birth to my third child, and it was an incredible time, and God did such a work in my life. But leaving Mercy doesn't always mean that you walk away with no troubles and that you walk away and the enemy doesn't come at you even more sometimes. And so there were times after I left here where I fell and I fell hard, but always got back up with more hope from the mercy that I found here and the love that I found and that unconditional love that I found from Jesus here. And I always say that Mercy loved me back to life. And that's, it's just an amazing thing. But the lessons I learned here were that foundation. And so when I left here, probably 10 years later, about 2010, I became heavily addicted to pain medication. And it was a time in my life where I was struggling through some things and I was misdiagnosed with a disease and thought that I needed the pain medication. And anyone who struggles with addiction in that area, I struggled with addiction in so many areas, but this one was one that I felt like I was never going to be able to overcome because I had real life pain in my body, but I was prescribed medication that I thought I was supposed to take, but then I overused it. And what happened was I needed more and more and more, like any drug, like any alcohol, like anything in our life, whether it's sex addiction or eating disorders or whatever it is, it's that need for more and more and more. And that had followed me all of my life from as a child. Honestly, I had always had that need for more. And so this was just one more thing, you know, and of course, in that place in my life, being much older, and I thought much wiser, I didn't think I should be struggling with this. I thought this would be something that I should have been able to overcome. But I realized that no one's exempt. And I realized that this was a real struggle that without God, I was never going to be able to overcome. And I tried to do it without him, like we do sometimes. That never works. So anyway, a long battle with pain medication addiction, and years prior, I'd been addicted to many different things, whether it be alcohol or drugs, or, you know, I was trying to numb the pain that I felt, and it never worked. The void got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I realized that it was the numbing that was not allowing me to see clearly what God had for my life.
Right.
And so that's it's a portion of my story. Obviously, there's a lot more. But when it comes to addiction, that's where I was. And pain medication is running rampant as an addiction right now in our society and in this world. And so it's something that's so easily accessible and it does numb you for a moment. It does. But the problem is you need more and more and more.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a little bit of a backstory there.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, I find it interesting that you brought up, even in one sentence, something that we hit on a couple of weeks ago, was that a lot of times the root underneath addiction mm-hmm. is unresolved pain or Absolutely. Emptiness or a void. And yep. in one sentence, you actually said both, that yeah. there was pain and that there was a void.
Yep.
And that that was what was at the root behind Absolutely. The,
and be
the addiction.
It physical pain, emotional pain,
right.
mental pain, whatever it is, that's what you're covering up or trying to cover up.
Right. So, yeah. Well, I'm sure, Kanan, you could probably write a book on all the different things that the Lord taught you and the principles mm-hmm. that were really helpful for you in overcoming. We've talked through quite a few in the last couple of weeks, but I know that every story is different and yeah. unique, and every journey looks a little different. So would love to hear from you just maybe what was one of the most helpful keys to you finding freedom and overcoming your addiction?
I'm going to give you two.
Okay. Go to two.
One is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's power in it.
Yeah.
And so when I began to dive into His Word, and not to be over spiritual, but when I dove into His Word, I realized that probably more than ever, the love letter that was written to me, and I really had never believed it. Honestly, all these years, and even after graduating Mercy and all these things, I had never believed that that was His love letter written to me. I thought maybe it was written for everybody else, mm-hmm. but not me, because I had messed up too much. I had done too much. I had gone too far, and there was no way that He could ever bring me back from this. Mm-hmm. I truly believed that. And in that time that I was on pain medication, I was also suicidal and in and out of mental hospitals at that time, because I truly believed I had gone too far, that right. there was no way that God could save me from this. It was a lie, but I believed it. Mm-hmm. So the Word, number one. But number two was accountability. Mm. I had to get surrounded by people who had my best interests at heart, who were not users, mm-hmm. who loved Jesus mm-hmm. and would hold me accountable.
Yeah.
Because there are people that will say, I'll hold you accountable, but they never call, they never text. And if they see you kind of going down that slope, they never say a word. Mm-hmm. And so there were yeah. people that I had to get in my life that would call me out.
Yeah.
And it was hard. I didn't like it. I didn't want them to. But I knew it's what I needed. And so I had to build those boundaries in my life and then invite the accountability in mm-hmm. because most of us don't want that accountability. Sure. We don't want yeah. it because we want to just be out there and rogue, you know, and like, oh, nobody knows what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But I had to invite that in.
Yeah.
That's really
and
good.
We've talked yeah. to Kanan about the importance of bringing, you know, those areas of, in this case, addiction.
Yeah.
But any area that we have in darkness out to the light and the yes. power that comes in putting it on the table, especially with someone else. We all know the importance of having Jesus as part of this, but we can't just me and Jesus hang out over here and overcome.
Correct.
We have to have people around mm-hmm. us, the importance of that That's accountability. Right. What would you say to someone that's really struggling with bringing something to the light? Someone, especially in this area of addiction, that yeah. they know, I'm addicted to something. This is a struggle of mine. And we could list them all off. And we've been really intentional about not sticking with just alcohol
right.
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, that there's gambling, there's so sex, many. There's shopping. There's so many areas Absolutely. That we can get stuck in that addiction.
Eating.
Yeah. What would you yeah. say to someone out of an encouragement, I guess, who is going, I know I need accountability. I know I need to bring this to the mm-hmm. light. Is there any encouragement you can think of that you would encourage them with?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you that it was probably the hardest thing I've ever done, because when I brought it to the light, I had been leading worship in a church for probably 13 years. I was looked up to. I was someone that was maybe called a role model. Mm-hmm. And I was hiding in this darkness. And I was screaming, but no one heard me. You know, it was that kind mm-hmm. of thing of going, I so desperately want you to know me. And I so desperately want you to know what I'm struggling with, but I'm so fearful mm-hmm. of judgment. I was fearful of losing my position.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there was so much fear involved, but then I realized through the Word of God that fear is not of God. Mm-hmm. And so the fear that I was feeling was of man. It wasn't of God. And so I would just encourage people. The enemy wants to keep things in darkness. That's mm-hmm. what he does. Mm-hmm. That's what he does. That's what he wants. He wants you to live your life in the dark. He wants you to have secrets. He wants you to have all the skeletons in the closet. But only when you bring those things to light can God really do the true healing, and you can find healing for your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, all of it. So I would encourage you to, even if it's one person, because mm-hmm. sometimes you feel like, oh, I need to go in front of the church or my family or my school or any of that to say, I need to just blah. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't think that's always the wisest
right.
decision
mm-hmm.
that sometimes it's one person that you need to say, hey, I trust you. I want to trust you. And I need you to know this about me. And mm-hmm. can you help me? Whether it's a counselor,
yeah.
maybe you start with a counselor. You start mm-hmm. with someone who you feel safe with, that mm-hmm. it's confidential. But then maybe that person can help you walk the road of, okay, how do I tell my family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do I tell my loved ones? How do I tell my church family, whatever it is, whatever mm-hmm. the case may be that your situation is, I think it starts with one.
Mm-hmm. You know? I think that's really good too, yeah. that you're saying it starts with one, because we actually touched on that as well. that the importance of, you know, there is going to be a point where there needs to be more than one person involved Absolutely. In that journey with you, but to just start there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for any of you out there who are, you know, I know there's a lot of people who listen to Mercy Talk who are helpers and who minister to other people. And, you know, one of the things that we really, really encourage people to do is to not try to do it on your own.
Yeah.
Not try to fix someone on your own. Obviously, as we've said over and over and over, Jesus is the freedom giver and the mm-hmm. healer. Yeah. But whenever other people come alongside and are part of that process, for there to be one person involved can get really dangerous and can right. get really unhealthy for them, or for both people, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so the importance of a team,
that's right.
coordinated that's right. care approach in helping other people, that's really important.
Absolutely.
And totally aside from what we're yeah. talking about today.
No, I agree but, completely.
you know, I think also one of the things that we've hit on, I think it was maybe last week, that, you know, there is a practicality to this whole thing about, you know, you already talked about the word of God and how important that was mm-hmm. in the process for you and accountability. But then there's just even the question specifically in relation to addiction, like what are the triggers for me mm-hmm. and what are the things that I need to start building some safeguards around my life so that I'm not triggered, or when I am triggered, I go here instead right. of here, you know, right. and what did that look like for you? What did that process look like?
Triggers for me, a big one for me was idle time. Hmm. Idle time was like the worst thing I ever could have mm-hmm. had in my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm a busy person now, but it's on purpose.
Right.
You know, it's for purpose. It's not just to be busy. Loneliness was a big one for mm-hmm. me.
Yep.
When I felt lonely, when I felt alone is when I wanted to use. One of the things that was so important to my life was attending Celebrate Recovery. And they're mm-hmm. offered all over the country in churches and in different places. But it was a group of people that are struggling with similar things, whether it's codependency issues, addiction, mm-hmm. all kinds of addiction. It's not just one, but all these different people from different walks of life, from the executives to the homeless. I mean, all coming in a room and saying, here's my struggles. I'm laying this out here. And then the leaders of the group are there to help you be held accountable. You mm-hmm. get a sponsor, you go through that. And so I know for me, when I would have triggers, a lot of times I hadn't been going to meetings, or mm-hmm. I hadn't been going, you know, I hadn't been talking to my accountability partners. I'd been withdrawing, or I was having that idle time or those things. So I knew I got to get back to that place. Mm-hmm. And so, or back in the Word of God, because there were times I knew that I would withdraw from God, or I would isolate myself from people. And any time that I did that, I would start thinking about, I want this or I want yeah. that. And so, for me, I had to have a healthy dose of the word in my life every single day, whether it was a, you know, 5-minute Jesus calling devotional or something more. Mm-hmm. I knew that I needed to start there, and my day had to start that way every single day. Without that, I knew that I would not overcome. But then when those triggers would hit, I would have to look and say, okay, have I been to a meeting? Have I talked to someone? Have I been withdrawing from these people? And usually the answer was yes. Mm-hmm. And so I would say any of those triggers, for me, I had to remove them, you know, the triggers, whether, I mean, it's, everyone's triggers are different, you know, I mean, it can be that someone sit and they watch TV and that's when they drank, or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everyone's trigger is different. And so you have to know you. But for me, that's what they were for me. Mm-hmm. They were the loneliness. That was a huge, huge thing, and idle time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, Kate, this is a question that I'm curious as you say that, because we've also talked about what it looks like to really identify the root, what it really looks like to identify mm-hmm. even those triggers and those temptations, because to have that introspective time isn't always easy. It's not something that's always easy. Do you know what I'm saying? To know immediately, this is what is causing me to struggle in this area. Do you have any quick thoughts on what it looks like to really put your finger on those things? Was that mm-hmm. something you were able to come to? Was it revelation in prayer time with the Lord? Was it accountability in your life that helped you identify those things? What did that look like for you?
Well, I'll say the root for me of all of the things that I've gone through in my mm-hmm. life were not feeling loved.
Yeah.
That was the root. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no doubt that I felt unlovable. I felt that love was conditional because it always had been mm-hmm. in my life. Mm-hmm. I had to perform to be loved. There were all these things. And so the root for me was always lack of love.
Right.
It wasn't until I guess I realized that root. Mm-hmm. I realized the root was that. I don't know. It was an amazing thing where God just, like I said, he poured out his word on me like a love letter that I'd never experienced before, that he did love me and that it was unconditional. And I didn't have to perform ever again. There was nothing that I had to do. I didn't have to wear the mask. I didn't have to act like everything was okay. He loved me regardless. And so that was the root for me, for sure. But I mean, everyone's root is different.
Right.
So I think it's asking the Holy Spirit to reveal it is huge, you know, because I think sometimes we don't ask because maybe we don't really want to know. We're afraid to know. But that was for me. I said, Holy Spirit, I need you to reveal this, or in time with counseling. I mean, there are amazing Christian counselors out there that can help you get to the root as well, because the Holy Spirit will help reveal it to them as well.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Yeah. And I know, you know, as we're in 2016 and kind of kicking into the end of January at this point, we're really talking a lot about vision and where we're going. And I know that throughout the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the importance of having the long view, that especially in a healing season, if you don't have somewhat of an idea of what's on the other side, it's really difficult sometimes to go, I'm willing to do this hard work. What would you say, as we're getting ready to wrap up here in a couple minutes, what would you say about the importance of having vision when you're overcoming something like an addiction? Why is that important? And any other encouragement that you have?
Sure.
Just for our listeners.
I would say vision for me was huge, because I knew that God had a call in my life. I did not think it would be fulfilled. I believed that for a long time. But once I came to the realization that the call was real, that he wanted me to help other people that have gone, that have walked through this or are walking through this, that vision to me, it was almost like, it was really far away for a time, because I felt just so dirty and wrong, and there's no way that I'll ever get there. But every step that I took, not the finish line, but somewhat the finish line, would get closer and closer and closer. I go, okay, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Good. And I know that if he's called me, he's going to equip me. He's going to give me the tools. He's going to help me overcome. When I fall, he's going to pick me back up. And so vision for me was huge, because I'm in ministry. It is my life's mission to help other people. And so that vision for me was huge, because that's also accountability. Because there's nothing that I want to do in my life that would disqualify me, which nothing does, but you know what I'm saying, to be able to reach people. And so the fact that I get to come and talk with the girls at Mercy and those kind of things, that was so paramount to me, because I never wanted there to be something that would not allow me to do that, you know? And so I always looked at that. I always looked at, God, you've called me. Please keep my heart clean and pure before you, you know, my hands clean. And I think it's huge. You've got to have vision. You have to have vision. And that doesn't mean ministry for everybody. It's different for every person, but have vision, have goals, have things that you're looking forward to, because it makes all the difference.
I have to say, as you've been sharing some today, and even just in the last few weeks, as we've been talking about this, and we keep going back to this idea of keeping that vision and, you know, just holding on to the hope that there is another side to this, that freedom is available to me and is possible for me. I keep thinking about a specific podcast that we recorded last year. And I, of course, don't have the date with me here, but I just want to encourage people to go back to, if you go to mercytalk.org, you can see our previous podcast. And there's one titled Small Steps Conquer Big Mountains. And our one of our UK staff members was here that week and shared an extremely powerful story about how the Lord taught her that. And just as we keep talking about that, and that keeps coming up, I just want to encourage people to go back, because that was one of the most powerful stories I think I've ever heard. I was sitting in here in tears behind the mic, you know, just, it was really amazing. And I think just such a good picture of what we've been talking about. So I just want to encourage people to go back and listen to that one. So Kanan, I know there's probably a lot of people listening in today, who, you know, may find themselves in that place, and they may be just right now in the pit and not knowing how they're ever going to get out, and really needing some encouragement. So to close the show out today, we would love if you would just be willing to say a prayer for those listeners out there, if you would.
And first, I just want to say that wherever you are right now, if you are in that pit, in that hole, in that place where you're facing addiction or any other obstacle in your life, that God loves you. There's nothing that you can do or ever will do that will stop his fierce love for you. It is unconditional, and his mercy is right there for you. And I'm encouraging you to just reach out to him. He adores you. He adores you. So and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. God, I thank you for this time. God, I thank you for this story because it's yours. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your healing power. God, right now I ask for you to go to any person that's listening to this, God, that if they feel that they are disqualified, if they feel like they've gone too far, God, if they're depressed, if they have sadness, God, that right now that you would just go to their hearts, you would pour out your love on them in a brand new, fresh way, God, that only you can do. And I ask that you would begin the healing process. I ask that you would bring the person. I ask that you would give them courage and boldness to share things that they've kept in the dark, Father, so that you can begin healing their heart in a brand new way. God, I thank you for doing that in my life. Thank you that you've made me new. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I just want to say thank you to Mercy. I want to thank just the donors and the givers that just are so generous with what they've been given, because it truly changed my life. It changed the lives of my children, mm-hmm. my daughter who I was pregnant here with. And so I want to say thank you to everybody that has given to this incredible ministry.
Awesome. Well, Kanan, we are so thankful for you coming today. I know in the middle of busy life to come and share your story. And, you know, we're just always so encouraged by the young women that the Lord sends to us and who truly have the courage to face those issues and to do that hard work, because we know it's hard work. And so we're so proud of you so thankful for you taking the time to come and share that with us today. And, you know, I think that Kanan's story is a really good example of how, you know, especially for girls who come through our Mercy program, the enemy doesn't just stop, you know, once they graduate, all of a sudden life's going to be perfect. But, you know, there is something that happens here in our program that really gives people the tools that they need when they leave. And I think your story is a really good example of one where there was a foundation laid here.
Yes. Yeah.
And although the enemy kept coming after you in the days after you left here, that you had a tool belt and you knew, like, wait, the word of God does something in the middle of this.
That's right.
And I know what the root was, because I learned it there, you know. And so I'm just thankful to hear that in your life, Mercy was not only helpful in your time here, but that there were things that you were able to pull from even a decade later.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, just kind of as a reminder to all of our listeners, we do, Mercy does offer our program free of charge to our residents, and we are run solely off of donations. And so if you've been benefiting from our Mercy podcast, or if you just have a heart to sow into our ministry, that's how we keep going and keep getting to do what we do. Not only in our homes, but also through all of the different outreach things that we've talked about here on the show. And so you can give on our website at mercymultiplied.com. And, you know, you can give a one-time gift. You can commit to give monthly, but anything that you are able to sow into this ministry, I can guarantee you there will be fruit, and it is a good investment. And so we just appreciate all of our listeners and all of our supporters so much for all that you do. And Kanan, again, thank you for being here. And we hope that you have a good week, and will join us next week. We'll be actually starting next month talking about eating disorders, and we'll kind of be going through many of the same components that we talked through with addictions, just kind of the signs, the symptoms, how to help someone who's struggling. And we'll have some great guests on the show as well next month. So please make sure that you join us and have a great week.